know, you're talking about how the people wanted to eat miracle food, right? All in Jesus' time, you know, let's go with Jesus, because he'll just feed us, you know, just a little bit. He'll just feed us miracle food. We like that. We're going to follow him around, you know. And I got to thinking, these people didn't realize that they were equating themselves, they were likening themselves to the people of Israel eating manna in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Right? And that was a miraculous thing, right?
Yes, but that wasn't God's plan.
That wasn't God's plan, was it? No.
No.
Remember,
it was God's mercy.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. It was God's mercy, because those people, he was so mad at, he was going to kill them all. And it was, it was his mercy that he didn't, and that he fed them. But they all died in the wilderness.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I think, of course, you age accountability can argue that. What is it, 20 and below were lived? If they were 20,
years old.
I kind of think that's the age of accountability, really, because that's when he cut off the experience about the ones could go in the promised land. But you can be born again before then. That's just my own personal interpretation.
Yeah, before 20, you're pretty stupid.
Yes, I am.
I was.
We talk about teenagers, you know, they get some neat insights, but they also get some weird stuff too.
They can say some profound things, you know. They just haven't got it all in the guilty.
Well, you know, some of us mature at other times. Some mature faster than others, you know, and I'll let God take care of that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly when.
That I don't know either. I just thought that came to my thought when I was reading years ago. That since that was the age, he let him go into the promised land.
We'll get it.
20 and under or under?
I got a special treat this morning, as you can see. I've got my guitar.
Are you singing nothing?
No, I'm going to. She's graciously consented to let me do the music today. So I told her that she was thinking about a song, you know, and I told her, well, I plan to do this one. You know, she said, well, you just do that, you know.
Yeah,
so, she was very, very sweet about it. But since we're going to be talking about the light today, I thought we'd sing a song about it, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is an old song. It's, I say old, it's not as old as some hymns. I think it was written, in the 1950s area by Hank Williams. And he had a rough life, Hank Williams did. But supposedly, toward the end, he saw the light. and so he wrote this song. And it's all about someone coming to Jesus. And he describes it as, I saw the light. Mm-hmm. All right? He said, I saw the light. You know, Paul saw the light when he rode to Damascus. Right? John saw the light in the first chapter of Revelation. He saw Jesus walking to it.
Yeah.
So bright. You know? So anyway, we'll talk some more about that. But let's sing this song, because it's kind of cool. It's all about salvation. Right? I'm going to see if I got a good key here for myself. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man, that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray. It is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more sorrow, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Lord, I saw the light. Now put your papers down, look up, and sing the chorus with me. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Amen. Well, I said today I was going to get you to help me, and so I am. All right. And I said we're taking kind of a pause when we were talking in 1 Peter. All right, and we came to the verse where the last word was light, into His marvelous light. Right? Y'all remember that? So, I wanted to do that. I wanted to talk about this a little bit. But what does he mean when he says light? What is light? Okay? So, what I want to do is I want to talk about it a little bit here. And I'm going to have to erase some of this. He can put it back. I'm sure he's good.
Oh, I'm sure.
Probably enjoys writing it here. I said I want you to think about light and what it means when the Bible uses the word light. You know, what does it talk about? What does it mean? So, what I want to do then is first let's talk about light. And you know, I'm a scientist, so I'll talk a little bit about light from a science perspective. You know, our culture now is all about science. We just love science. Everybody just thinks science is the end all and be all of everything, right? Of course, we know that's not exactly true, don't we? As Christians, and we know our society needs to see the light. But the scientists have discovered, or they have named, light, okay, and they call it a photon. The smallest bit of light that they can measure is called a photon, okay. This comes from the Greek word phos, okay. If I said that right, maybe phosy, or I'm not sure about my Greek pronunciation, but it comes from that word, and it's the same Greek word from which we get photography, all right, and you know, photo in front of a word. You know, we use photometric or photo, whatever. Photography, you know, photography, you know. So the word here is photo, and that comes from the Greek word, all right? And this is the Greek word that's used in the New Testament a lot for light. There's several words, actually, that are used for light. But this is the principal one, okay? And so we use that word. The scientists have used this word and say, well, what is a photon? Okay, so photon is one of the smallest parts of light. And to give you this is a dictionary definition. This is not a physics book definition. This is a dictionary definition, but it's close. It says it's a particle, calls it a particle, of representing a quantum. Of light. or other electromagnetic radiation. What does that mean? Okay. Well, first off, science recognizes two things in nature. A particle or a wave. Okay? Particle or wave. A particle is obviously anything you can touch, right? Everything's made up of particles, right? Except waves. Waves, if you take a stone and throw it in a pond, steel pond, what you're going to see emanating out from it?
Waves,
right? It's waves. Now, those waves are the motion of particles, but the waves are not the particles themselves, right? It's really more the motion of the particles, right? You see them moving up and down, da-da-da-da-da, you know? And so, we talk about waves a lot. Talk about electromagnetic radiation, radio waves, right? And we can pick up our antenna in the air, we can pick up radio stations, right? So the radio waves in the room with us, all right? So if we had a radio here with an antenna, we could pick up the station, right? Because the waves are in the room. So, but a particle, it's just a particle, like a grain of sand. It's just a particle, right? Well, one of the things in physics that is kind of been one of the big things that we do, let me just give you the rest of the definition. The rest of the definition is a photon carries energy proportional to the radiation frequency, but has zero rest mass. Okay? So it carries energy. But has zero rest mass. Well, that's kind of an interesting sort of thing. You know, if we have a grain of sand particle, that grain of sand particle has mass, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it also has energy because it has these atoms inside it. It's made up of atoms. Mm-hmm. And those atoms have energy. If you were to tear them apart, you get a tremendous amount of energy.
Bombs.
Yeah, a nuclear bomb sort of thing. So, so we understand that particles have mass and have energy. In fact, Einstein gives us that famous equation, E is equal to mc squared, where it relates energy and mass. Mm-hmm. If you've got mass, you can tell how much energy you've got. I'm multiplying it times the speed of light squared. Okay? And so all of science loves this. And I know I'm not giving you a science lesson here. I want you to see this.
Things are not awesome.
Really, it is. When you get into it, you know. But I want to show you something.
And this is not his mind. This is man's mind.
Yeah.
So of course his mind probably was part of it showing.
I'm trying to show you something. This photon, they say, carries energy, but has what?
Zero rest mass.
Zero mass. If that is zero, what is that? It's zero too, right?
Yeah.
So how can you have zero mass and still carry energy? You see, the photon... They say it was a particle, right? Mm-hmm. But actually, that's not exactly true. In fact, the photon experiences or it exhibits characteristics of both a particle and a wave. Mm-hmm. A particle and a wave. A particle can only be in one place at one time, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it turns out a wave, you know, be in different places because it's not linked to a particle, right? So it turns out a photon is in its characteristics of a particle and a wave. So which one is it? Well, this is a big paradox, and people have actually coined the word wavical. Just to describe this particle, just to describe the photon.
Yeah.
Because it acts like a wave, it acts like a particle, so they put the two words together and came up with a new word because they don't really understand light. Mm-hmm. Get that in your mind. They don't really understand light. We don't understand light. I mean, from a scientific view, this is over our heads. Mm-hmm. You know, we really can't comprehend light.
That's what you said in the first place.
Huh?
You said the darkness comprehended it not.
Yeah,
Woo,
yeah.
Good, Arston.
We can't understand how this thing works, how this photon can be a particle and a wave at the same time, and how it can have energy but no mass. I studied this, and I can't really wrap my mind around the fact that it can be a particle and a wave, and be a wave. It can be in two places, but then, I can't put it together. Okay, I really can't. And so this is a conundrum, if you will, that our culture is in, our science is in. We really don't understand light, but light is used a lot in the Bible. Right? So, not worrying about this, because this isn't really what we're talking about in the Bible, I don't think, too much.
Well, we're talking about spiritual life.
Yeah, well, you know.
Physical life.
What are some of the ways that the Bible talks about light? Or this is what I wanted to kind of get from you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, when the Bible uses light, Old Testament, New Testament, whatever. What are some of the things that you come away with light meaning? I know now it's used actually as light, as like from a candle or something. I know that. And often that's used as a parable or as an analogy for some other kind of light. So I want to ask you now, what are some of the things you came up with when you're thinking, you know, what? How does the Bible use light? So tell me something.
Example?
I'm sorry?
Example?
You can give me an example or just give me some words.
A better way.
A better way. Okay. That's good.
Jesus said he was the light of men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you? Yeah, give me the verses. That's good. But tell me what light means in those verses. What do you think that light means to you in those verses?
Example?
Example? Okay. It kind of goes with this better way, doesn't it?
Well, I've read this before that, you know, they claim animals see in black and white, and it's only man that sees in color. So I would say it's the Lord that lets us, see everything in color.
Okay. So Jesus says, I'm the light, I'm the, what is it, I am the what?
Truth.
The truth. Okay, so light is truth. Good. Anything else? I can give you some verses, you don't tell me the meaning, but.
I was going to say truth.
Truth, all right, that's good.
Is it power?
Shows you, it points out sin. Light gives you history. His light in the Bible, one of the ways is to show you what sin is.
Righteousness, then.
Righteousness.
Yeah, righteousness. Okay. We'll turn that around and say righteousness.
God's way of doing that. It's God's way of being righteous.
Because righteousness is opposed to sin. Yeah. And you were saying?
I was going to say power, but strength.
Strength.
Yeah,
okay.
That's good.
Anybody else?
I was thinking last night and got on the computer and tried to find a few things, but I remember you saying you was going to speak on light this week, and the first light, and I got thinking, and over in Revelation, you know, at the end there, the Lord said there'd be no more sun and moon, that he would be the light then.
Right, right.
And I'm thinking that light it will be the same as the very first lie, okay, that he spoke. Not the sun and moon for seasons and all, but the very first lie, when he said that there'll be light, will be the same light that's in Revelation that will illuminate mankind then.
Okay. So that, but what is that light? Are we talking about photons or are we talking about something else? You see?
I always follow the glory of God.
What, that glory of God? Okay, that's a good one. Glory of God.
Because it was 4 days till he turned the sun back on.
That's true.
Well, what was that?
On the fourth day, he turned the sun and the stars back on.
Okay. That's right. That's right. You know, on the fourth day, he turned the sun on. He created the sun. All right.
And one thought I read last night,
yeah,
that the sun and the moon was lit by the first light.
Hmm.
That was what one commentator, you know, whether it was two different lights or on the, you know.
All right. Okay. So we had a light that was created on the first day. And then we have the sun, the moon, stars, right? Mm-hmm. Stars and the sun. Now the moon is reflected light, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's reflected off the sun. But the sun and the stars have light within them.
Yeah.
They create their own, well, they make their own light, if you will, by burning the gases and what have you inside them. So they create light. But they create photons, right? Mm-hmm. They create photons that come to light, comes to the earth and give us warmth. Mm-hmm. And we can see by them. Right.
You've put truth down there, haven't you?
I did have truth.
I thought you did. Yes,
yeah. Oh, you want to tell me some more, or shall I tell you a few? No,
tell us.
Okay, I just got Vine's commentary, you know, the dictionary of the Bible. He gave several things, and he gives a scripture to back him up. And I'm not sure, you know, you agree with all of them. I'm not sure I do. But he says, the glory of God's dwelling place. You were talking about in Revelation, you know, the glory of God's dwelling place, the nature of God. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all.
Yeah.
Purity.
The impartiality of God. Yeah, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of change. The favor of God, lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. God Himself, okay? The Lord will be, just this is that verse that you were talking about. God will be your everlasting light. You know, the Lord God, and your God will be your glory. This is actually from Isaiah, but it's referencing that. It talks about the Lord Jesus as the illuminator of men. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, the light is among you for a little while, yes, longer. While you have the light. Mm-hmm. He says, while you have light, have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. So we're supposed to become sons of light.
Yeah.
The illuminating power of the scriptures. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Mm-hmm. The guidance of God, salvation, righteousness, witness of God, or for God, and even prosperity and well-being. Mm-hmm. You know. So one of the things that got me about Genesis 1:3, I think it is, the first day, and I thought, what light? Jesus is the light, right? What light are we talking about here? And this is what I came up with. Of course, it's all these things. You know, that's the thing is, we can't really point our fingers and say one thing that it is. It's many things, right? So, you know, none of these are wrong. In fact, it's these things and more, and probably more than that, right? But one of the things that seemed to jump out at me is this, and when I say this, understanding,
yeah,
you got to understand it's not just understanding, it's understanding, knowledge, wisdom, truth, all of those wrapped together in a big bundle, you right? All of them are bundled together, right? It's understanding, it's wisdom, right? We talk about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? But I think that when I think about that, when God said, light be, he was saying, wisdom, understanding, logic, okay, all these words, truth, all of these things, he created at first, rational thinking, if you will. I mean, you can wrap up all these, many of these things here together, and it's like, okay, you can call them understanding, or we can call them something else, but I just chose a word. And he was saying, boom, that's what I'm going to start with. I'm going to start with. Isn't it great? And aren't you glad he didn't start with chaos? Right? Yeah. Darkness was on the face of the deep. He said, the first thing I got to do is get rid of the darkness. Right? We got to have a little understanding and get rid of the chaos. Right? We're going to have to start. This creation is going to be a creation of understanding, of rational thought. Right? Mm-hmm. Our God is not like the Greek gods or the demons or the idols that they had. They would just do things whenever you want. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no understanding how the gods are going to act or all that sort of thing. In fact, God encourages, he says, you need to know my ways.
Yes.
Learn my ways. Learn how I think, how I act, why I do the things I do. Mm-hmm. Right? So, anyway, I just thought, you know, we talked about this a little bit this morning, and y'all could help me come up with some ideas, and you did. I mean, I got some here that, you know, this is good. It's good to think about this. But our God is the ultimate scientist. You know, and he's done things that we can't figure out yet. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that we were talking about thinking this morning, and I want to end up with this. Is that, you know, to understand things. If you want to understand physics, if you want to understand higher math, okay, or even lower math or something, you know, for that matter, you've got to press in. You got to study hard. You got to think about it a lot. You can't just think about it once and, you know, walk away and not do it again. You got to think about it a lot. You must strive. Strive to understand. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come easily. And it's not meant to come easily. Remember, Jesus spoke in parables, right? Well, to understand the parables, his disciples had to strive. They had to strain. They had to think about them before they could catch them. Right? Before they could get the understanding. Mm-hmm. He says, it's not for everybody. It's the ones that really are receptive.
Yeah. But he also asked Jesus to help them.
Oh, yeah.
That's the big bud.
Really?
He's striving in the word.
Yeah. We got someone we can ask to help, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you got to know the foundation that they have to know to ask for help.
So right. We've got someone we can ask. And that's mm-hmm. that's the wonderful thing. So we have someone we can ask, and he will help us to understand. We've got the Holy Spirit, and what was he going to do? Teach us all things, guide us into all truth, right? Help us to remember all things, right? So we've got someone to help us.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to strain our little minds too much to the point of breaking it, because we got the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen? Yeah. But, you know, we have to go after him, yeah.
But, Ray, can I show you something on the chalkboard there.
Come on.
I've seen this on a children's scientific thing early one Saturday morning about 6 months ago, and I thought this is the coolest thing. But talking about light, they took a cross and they had these dots around this cross. And these dots, they lit them up. And they started going like green, you know, and it was going around this cross. And they said, you know, and everybody was focused. I was sitting there watching it on TV. And then they said, now notice the green dot. Or what did I say? No, the red dot. It was red. They started out green. And then they said, notice the red dot. Well, all these was, And then there's a red dot popped up and started following all these other dots. And then, you know, you could see it, just one little dot going around all these other green dots. The thing was, they never injected the red dot. They spoke it. And your eyes seen it. I'm sitting there watching it on TV. And I said, you know, and I got thinking about the spoken word, how God spoke those things into existence. And light and all. And I got to thinking from a scientific mind, would that have worked had not the cross been in the middle?
Hmm, that's good.
You know, they never did say that on this children's program. It blew my mind that, you know, that that happened. I mean, it's just, I thought that was so neat.
Yeah, well, what can you say? Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. That's amazing. So, yeah. But yeah, we speak. And our words have power, don't they?
Yeah.
We speak and our words have power. We need to be careful how we speak.
Yes.
Amen. We need to be careful. We need to speak good things to people, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep our minds on good things so we speak good things.
Amen. We're saying that the Holy Spirit brings things back to our remembrance. Bob Yantin said that people would ask him when they learned a lot of facts that they didn't know. And the people would ask him, well, what do we do with it? He said, nothing. But when you need it, the Holy Spirit will bring it back.
That's right.
Amen. That's what we